A movie that states not only is Stockholm Syndrome real, but sometimes it's pretty great. Jamie?
Yeah?
Let's go watch Overboard.
And welcome to another episode of Good Times and Great Movies. We are a 80s movie podcast, and here we come together to talk about movies from the 1980s. I am one of your hosts. My name is Jamie Lorello. On the other end of things is a D.P. McCambridge. How you doing? How you hanging on there?
I'm hanging on.
Yeah?
I did not dress the way I told you I was going to dress for this episode, which was shirtless.
With some cheese.
Maybe just sleeveless.
I think the overall look is my favorite.
Okay,
The overalls folded over. And yeah, no sleeves necessary. And really a lot of room, because that was one of her core memories, right, that came back when he was able to stretch
a lot of room to just hook your thumbs in the gigantic pit holes of that shirt and just pull it. It's like he's a pro wrestler. Like, I feel not pro wrestler. This feels like a wrestling onesie. What do actual wrestlers wear? You know what I mean? Like one
a
of those.
Leotard, but I don't know if they call them leotards.
They call them onesies.
Jerseys? No, that's
I don't know what they're called.
So would you say you're like Kurt Russell's best friend? What's his name from? Wasn't he in Cheers? Like that kind of energy.
I mean, honestly, in that I could probably put people's faces on other people's bodies using Photoshop.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, you actually, yeah.
I looked at that and I was like, for 1987 work, this is nearly
pretty good.
Flawless.
I wondered why such large photos. I mean, I get it because it's what, but that she didn't question that they were just like.
You like, wondered why there was only like a stack of 7 8x10s where he was like, this is what I found. This is all we got. Why do I look scared and uncomfortable in every photo? I don't know. Have you looked around? Did you see where you live?
Did you see? Your dad showed up. I love the story he just weaves to her. I got a bit of the sniffles all of a sudden. What, sneezing a little bit?
Oh, no.
Oh, it's fine. It's called allergy season.
With a case of, I'm going to say, Kurt Russell fever.
Kurt Russell fever. It'll get you. I mean, he is adorable in this. I mean, yeah, this is his prime, right?
Jamie, I think it's more than adorable. When they're having sex, I was like, I think I want to be a part of that sex sandwich. I am all for that.
Yeah, because she's a sweet. I mean, I like Goldie Hawn. I never took to what's her daughter's name?
I almost said Kate Beckinsale. That's
no,
right.
But it is Kate Hudson.
It is.
I never took to her in the same way that I did her mother. But
no.
Yeah.
I would say it's the opposite. I feel like I have an aversion to Kate Hudson.
Oh.
If I see her and stuff, I'm like, oh, I'm going to stay
this
away from that.
This is not going to be for me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I mean, we'll talk about our thoughts of this movie. This movie is a wild ride, I will say.
Sure.
She is amazing in this movie. Like, she's the best. Kurt Russell's great. He
looks good.
Looks
he
fantastic.
Looks great.
But she's doing all the heavy lifting. Like, she is the funniest person in this movie. Every line she delivers
so
is
well.
Great.
Yes. I agree.
She is the reason to watch this movie. She's doing a hell of a job.
100%. Yes, yes. And
did we say the name of the movie?
No. No. I love it when we do this. I love when we describe so much and we because it's like, I know you say people read what the movie is before they even listen, but they're like, well, wait, is that what they're talking about? Or maybe they're talking about something else. Maybe it's,
the thing that shocked me and the thing that I would hope clues listeners in as to what we're talking about is these two, strangely enough, were only in 2 movies together.
And are they one of those Hollywood couples that have always been just together?
Oh, 40 plus years.
Wow.
40, 45 years, something like that. Yeah. It's amazing. Good for them. Good for them because I watched this movie.
You can see the chemistry.
And it makes sense. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, you can totally see, and it's pretty groovy. It's a groovy kind of love. is what they sing it about, right?
I think the people that sang that song sang about these two.
It was about these two. It was about Goldie and Kurt, right?
So let's get into... Now I do have a confession to make.
Do tell.
Not since our episode on Young Guns, Jamie, and I'm going back to like episode 4 of this podcast. Yeah, that's pretty early. Have I lost a significant portion of notes?
Oh, what happened? How did you lose?
I took all my notes. I didn't save it. The thing crashed. It didn't autosave. I don't know how that happened. About halfway through, I'm going to need your help.
Oh, I can do it. I have confidence.
I rewatched the end of this today, and you might be thinking, well, why didn't I just take the notes? I was watching it while I was on the elliptical just to be like, all right.
Just to refresh.
Yeah. I was like, the last 40 minutes, I just want to make sure I know what goes on. But there's, once you hit that midway point, there's a lot happening. There's panties in a truck. There's the mini golf thing.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of stuff happening.
I forgot about the mini golf thing. When I rewatched it, I forgot that that was even a thing that they did. And then I was like, oh, yeah, when she colors it with her smelly markers.
I will say, could have done without it.
I mean.
You got enough. You got enough. You didn't need to tack that on. I know it's there so these two can come together more.
Yeah.
I don't know that it was necessary.
Like that it shows her. There's a lot of this movie that like she in the end, it's her money. It's not that dumb other, her husband's money. And she says like, this is my money. This is my boat. All this is mine. And so when he comes to her and she's got all these great ideas, she's the one drawing up the pictures. I mean, he's doing the work, but so it's their partnership, but it's also speaking to her many talents and her, which I love. I love that she's not just this either way. She's not just the pretty wife, you know?
I'm not going to argue with you. First of all, I have lots of questions about... I have a lot of questions about what's going on at
times. Always do. You always do. But, and I love that inquisitive mind of yours.
If that's the case, I just... I don't think it's that much to give Mona a line on the phone with her early to say, I sent you to art school or something that's it.
Yeah.
That's all you need. That's it. Because when she's drawing things with markers and she's so enthused, I'm like, I guess, I mean, if I have to clean up after these pig children all day, I'm looking for any reason to get out and do something else. But if this was an actual talent of hers, I would have liked that to have been established,
What you said earlier, you want more Mona, period. Like, I wanted more of her. Like, I
That's
know she
I
had
want
a,
in every movie.
When she was in that long, big dress and holding that dog, that furball dog, and I wanted her to stomp onto the boat at some point. And I thought, in my head, I remembered that she did, but she does. No, she does. She's part of their therapy.
She's there in the end.
Yeah.
That therapist might be my favorite character in the movie.
He's pretty great.
The piano-playing therapist? That guy's great. But you said more Mona? Jamie, I want more Mona all the time.
Of course.
Little peek behind the curtain. Quinn is having, she's going through a phase of not being able to sleep. So Carla and I take turns sitting in the room until she falls asleep. When I'm sitting there, I have started to rewatch Broad City from the beginning.
Oh, nice.
And when it's revealed that What's-Her-Face's dad is Tony Danza, which is great. It's an amazing episode where they go to visit him. The whole time I'm like, I wish Mona were here. I just want Mona to pop up. And she wasn't even dead then. She died just recently.
She did pass recently, right?
Good for her. Sweet Mona. Having a great life and in some pretty incredible pieces of art, I'm going to say.
Yes, say it. Who's the boss? Art.
That's what that's how I would refer to who's the boss and soap as art.
Well, and she was in that movie, which we
Brazil?
Should do. No, The Girl in White or The Lady in White. Do you know it?
Yeah. Whoa. Yes. Okay. Oh no. Who was I thinking? Somebody I found. Oh, it's the shitty turd kid in this. Sorry, there are four shitty turd kids in this. The one that's in Big. And
yes,
the one
with
that's
the red
in
hair.
Honey,
yeah.
I Shrunk the Kids. He's in Lady in White.
He is. That's right.
I looked it up, and that's when I was like, we had an idea to do kid horror movies.
Yeah, yeah. Lady in White.
We gotta do Lady in White.
Yeah, 100%.
That was a movie that really bothered me as a kid. Like, that really upset me. Yes.
Well, we'll have to. Let's put it on the list. Let's talk about it.
I know. I don't want to reveal the true horror of that movie, but it was enough to be quite disturbing.
Well, okay. Well, right. Even more. Okay, yeah. Great.
All right.
But let's put a pin in that.
Amona and Tom Hanks' friend from Big Reunion.
It'd be great. Friend from... Yeah, what else did that kid do? And is he doing anything now?
I hope he held on to this money. You know, I hope he took that Honey, I
Shrunk the Kids check somewhere and
did
and
something
just,
with it, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see him in anything anymore. But he plays a real good bratty 80 kid.
I think kids that have that look like...
Yeah, but you know he doesn't look like that anymore.
I'm a disgusting shit boy look, but like that look, you can only work for so long. I don't know that it transitioned into him being like a super hunk in his teens and 20s. So
no.
I'm glad he was in the 80s as much.
You just
as
hope he was responsible with his money that he made, his earnings. Well, yeah,
I hope his parents didn't rip him off.
Let's put those good thoughts out there. We can't even remember his name, so we just know him as the kid from Big and a couple other movies. All right, but now he is in this movie.
Yes, let's get
right,
into
let's get
this
into
movie.
A movie, right? Let's reel it in. Let's reel it into the boat.
Let's reel it in because we open at a place called Elk Cove.
Elk Cove. In Oregon. So we're in the...
I understand that you and I, when we were in Oregon, we were just thinking too much about Harry and the Hendersons to consider Overboard.
Yeah.
Jamie, we could have easily driven to Elk Cove.
We probably could record it from there.
It's a real place, and it's not that far from where we were.
Oh, it's not?
We honestly could have gone there.
Oh, that's pretty great to know.
Remember that mountain that Carla and I tried to walk to?
Yeah,
it's right there.
Is it?
Yes, it's right there.
Wow.
I know. I was kind of bummed out when I looked that up. And I was like, we should have done that.
But to know we were that close to this place where this took place. So you had mentioned the amount of boats in the 80s. Well, the amount of boats in this opening credit scene. We're just living the boat life. We're getting to know the ocean, the dock, the sea, the people that take to the sea.
Yeah. It's a montage. It's like Cove Marina montage.
Yeah.
We were just introduced to this town, some of the people, some of the locals and what they look like.
Sure.
And then the people aboard this yacht who dock at Elk Cove in order to hire a carpenter who just moved to town. I am so confused. Like, did they dock just because of the closet? Or why are they even here?
No, I thought there was another reason. And she was like, while we're docked, I'm going to get the closet done.
While we're here, I'll ask the locals. And they'll be like, I don't know.
The new guy works.
A guy just moved to town.
I like, though, that it wasn't like they didn't cheeseball it. Because I like that she didn't like him at first. Because they didn't make it cheesy and be like, she saw this guy and she was like, oh, hey, you want to do some work for me?
They
you
could
know?
Have done that. And I feel like they kind of dance around it when they're together. Because he's doing the thing, pulling in his shirt so you can get a look at those nips there. And she's wearing basically a thong and he's checking her out. But there's no weird like... sexual tension where you're like, I think these two are going to make out or something if she wasn't married.
Not in those beginning, no. Mm-mm. Which is, I like that. It was very refreshing.
Exactly, because it, I don't want to say it makes sense why you would want to kidnap a woman, but it kind of, in a way, like he really hates her.
Yeah, and I like that too.
She clearly hates him.
Yeah, I like that too, that even when she's first at his place, he's just like, he doesn't soften. It takes him a minute to soften and to her. And what softens her is basically...
Sorry, when you say a minute, you mean roughly 2 months?
Yeah, how long does she end up staying? I wonder.
When
that,
her husband's... Oh, no, I think Mona calls up and is like...
Oh, yeah, she does mention it.
You've been ditching me for 2 months now. I was like, oh, boy, this is a grift that will give you... Like, get you serious jail time. I'm sorry, Kurt Russell, you're going to prison for a long time. I hope your kids have other relatives because you're not seeing them for a while.
Yeah, what about that mystery too? Where did this family... He's so... Okay, all right.
The dead wife reveal where he kind of could care less that his wife died.
I have so many questions about his wife
because he says things when, and I know I'm jumping around and we'll do the movie beat by beat like we normally do, but when he's picking her up from the sanitarium, and he's saying things like, oh, you grew up in this town in Idaho that's now like a nuclear fallout area.
You're wondering, is that about his wife?
Yes, like, and his, we met at like a burger joint or something like that. And later on, he tells his wife a story about how she saved someone in a restaurant who was choking. I'm like, are these stories about your wife? Or are you just making this
I feel
up?
Like they're all part of the makeup. I wish, like, you wish that there was a little piece there where Mona was like, hey, I sent you to art school, and that's why you can, or whatever, you can draw these pictures so well with magic markers. I wish there was just you don't really need it, because in the end, it's just more for the curious mind. Like, what did happen to his wife? How was that relationship? Why even the kids are just like.
The kids, it is revealed at one point that his wife died 3 years ago.
Yeah, but maybe it was the kind of thing where she, and again, it doesn't matter, but maybe, maybe she was not a good mom from the start. Like, maybe he was the best option as a parent and he was always the single dad and she just happened to die recently, he's not in the picture at
Jamie,
all.
I'm gonna solve this problem for you. Why didn't she just run out on them? Like, just do that. That's fine. Because 3 years is a long time, I understand that. But also, nobody's fazed by this.
Yeah, I think the run out would have been a better angle to take than she's just died. Yeah. Because the kids don't even play a little. Yeah, okay. I'm with you on that edit.
The kids don't seem to care.
No.
That their mother died a handful of years ago.
Yeah. And they should at least have a couple of, like, and that actor one could be like, it makes me so sad. I like that the kids have their own little storylines. Like, the one is just, it wants to be the actor, the kid one who's got trouble reading, the little one.
Jamie, would you say that's his plot line or character motivation, or is it speaking like Pee Wee Herman? Because that's my favorite.
Fun.
When this kid starts talking like Pee Wee Herman,
she looks at him and she goes, "A falsetto one."
The whole time this kid talked, I was like, oh, I understand what Jamie's mother went through.
Yeah.
Like, I totally understand, because I wanted to strangle this kid. All right, so we're introduced to, what is her name? Her name's Joanna?
Yeah, yes. Well, Joanna. When she's the rich lady. Yeah, but then
right.
It's Annie.
Not Annie. Yeah, okay, no. So Joanna and her husband, the head vampire from Lost Boys, they are docking. For reasons that may or may not have been explained, we didn't pay attention to them. But basically, it's so she can have her closet redone.
Now, you talked about Kurt Russell's fashion in this movie. But when she is the rich Joanna, she's got these 80s, like, is this when she's got the red glasses that are like the triangle with the...
Well, he's there for 2 days. She said, you got 48 hours to do
this
job.
That's all they're in for, right.
We see her in various bathing suits and various sunglasses. And I think she shops for her sunglasses at the same place that Hollywood Montrose from Mannequin shops for
his. Like, it's that,
it's exactly what it looks like. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty great.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Like, Kurt Russell's there to work, and he's not... It takes him a while to even know why he's there. It takes him a while. He doesn't seem to know why he was hired until she's like, all right, so shoes are going to go here. Here's my clothes. And he's like, all right, I'm just here to redecorate your closet, right?
Yeah, I think he's just been hired to do some kind of job on the boat. And he's like annoyed almost to be working, because he's more annoyed at their lifestyle, right? He's not into these rich... And she's like got a reputation of being a bitch to her crew. We see that. She's rude to her husband. She's a bitch to her crew, her boat crew or whatever. She's not the friendliest. She doesn't give him a warm, friendly welcome. It's more like, come, you've got a job to do. And so he's not necessarily thrilled to be there, but willing to do the job because
it's money.
He needs the money. Right. He's got to work here.
His dead wife, who I assume was the breadwinner, they haven't been making much in the past 3 years, had to move here recently.
Maybe from Seattle?
Maybe. Mm-hmm. But also move there along with his high school best friend. Is that guy just tagging along?
That was his connection. All right, his bestie, so he was like, come yeah. to my
so
Elk
he
town.
Was like, Mike, where I'm just gonna say there's Mike. I think that's the actor's name, but I'm just gonna say yeah. Mike, where should we live? And he's like, now I'm in a trailer park, but there's this great house yeah. that's been abandoned.
It'll be big enough for your whole family, for the whole clan. Yeah, and yeah. you can go into my little business with me. Yeah. yeah.
So he's there working. Mm-hmm. We're getting a bit of the life of these people where her husband's like, at one point he's shooting Skeet off the boat. See like cars and a bridge in the distance. I don't think you could just fire a gun.
No, he doesn't seem safe. He too is played kind of like a. It's great.
Oh,
because you don't like him and you don't want to like him, and he doesn't make you want to like him. And they don't seem to like each other as a couple. They're definitely like he's into his thing and she's into her thing, and he rolls his eyes because she does such a good job of playing the snobby bitch. She really does.
So here's my big question, because through the whole movie, you're assuming, yeah. I'm assuming. Now, again, I saw this when I was a kid. I'm sure you saw it a lot, too.
Yeah.
You're assuming this is his money. He is yeah. an older man. She's a much younger woman. Mm-hmm. I understand sort of the dynamic and what's going on. When it's revealed it's her money, I'm like, what? How? Why are they together? Like, they have a horrible relationship. He's older. If anything, she should be with a guy in his 20s, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, it's really weird that they would be together and she's not like, dude, I'm kicking you to the curb. Because right. they clearly hate each other.
Yeah, they're not fans of each other. They don't enjoy each other's company. It's more of a marriage of some kind of convenience, whether it's, he must
convenient
have a
for
some.
Him.
He must have some of the money, too. I think it's just, you know, wealth attracts wealth. And that's what I think it was meant to show, that they didn't have a true love there. They had a love of spending. And that's why they ended up together. And who gotcha. Knows? Maybe it was some sort of arranged marriage by Mona. But he's a real, like, well, we find out he doesn't even try to seek her out when she goes missing. And then lives the life of a crazy yacht owner, I guess. He's like, this is what... Oh, he loves the rich and famous lifestyle. The night she falls yes. overboard, titular, he is watching lifestyles of the rich and famous.
Yeah. When he and Roddy McDowell are just partying with hot chicks, uh-huh. and Roddy McDowell so uninterested in what's going on, uh-huh. I wanted to reach in and grab the leader of the vampires from Lost Boys and be like, Roddy McDowell's clearly a gay man. Can't you hire some hot dudes for him? Like, come on.
Help him out. Help him out. So he can enjoy his
show as well. Roddy McDowell, don't know if you saw it in the credits, executive producer of this movie.
Oh, I did see that actually. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so good for him.
Yeah, good for him. Well, and he's got
I think this movie killed it at the box office. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure he made out. Yeah. He's there working. They're doing the rich person stuff. Mm-hmm. And now the job is finished. And his shoe contraption is super cool.
It is.
It's like this crank where shoes like disappear. And
they come in through the center. They go out the other way. It looks great. I think it looks great. And she's like, I love her reaction. She's like, what is this? And it's not cedar. It's made out of oak wood,
yes.
which is the cheaper wood, but not the kind of wood that this lady... I will say that the wood finish isn't the greatest comparatively in her closet. I mean,
it is really weird that he didn't stain it or paint it to match. Like, it's just wood and everything else is like pink.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know.
And also,
he was more like, look at what it does.
Right. And I'm going to put this on her. Like, this is something you have to work out with your carpenter at the beginning.
Well.
Because this guy has
that's what he says to her when she's like, it's not what I want. It's not cedar. No. You could forget it. He's like, well, you needed to say that up front.
Exactly.
And you still need to pay me. And she's refusing to pay because the job isn't done to her standard. And he's like, you're being ridiculous right now. And they get into a squabble. They get into a fight. She's clearly not going to back down from him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so she slowly starts to push. Does she? No, his
she
toolbox
pushes
is last.
She pushes him overboard.
Yes.
So many titular overboards in this movie. Mm-hmm. Jamie, would you have loved to have been the kid at the end of this movie that's like, Now he's overboard. Now she's overboard. Everyone's overboard. The name of this movie you're watching is Overboard.
You gotta love it. You gotta love it.
So she pushes
him first.
He falls. Yeah. And then she throws his livelihood, all of his tools, into the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Not
terrible,
cool.
Shitty, not and cool. Is like, I'm not paying. P.S. We're out of here. Not great.
No. And he's venting to his friend. What's his friend's sign at the trailer that his friend lives in? He's got a little business that he... Do you remember what it said?
I don't know. I hope it just says fake IDs found
here. No, it's like a business that I thought I wrote it down, but I didn't. Oh, when he goes... So we learn that he's a struggling carpenter, but now we also learn that he's got a family of four boys at his house.
Ooh, does he? Yes.
Yeah. And the principal has just been there, and she's come out with toilet paper wrapped around her head. She's a scattered mess. And she's basically yelling at him, like, you got to get your kids together, and their behavior is a mess, and you're a mess, and what kind of father are you? This is when we find out that his wife's died, because she's like, where's their mother? And he's like, she's dead.
Mm-hmm. Is this in the movie when you wondered, did Pippi Longstocking live in Elk Grove? Because this is a very, like, just a woman, a school ambassador, the principal, coming to check on these children, make sure they don't live alone. Later on, we find out that she may or
she's
may not actually
teacher?
Be the teacher
yeah.
of this one-room schoolhouse for these kids all are in
Elk
the
Cove.
Same
it's a
class.
Small town. It's a small town.
It's very strange. But yeah, she's there and she's like, hey, did you know that your kids are turds? He's like, yeah, I know. I do like how she says, they wrapped me up in toilet paper and we're going to set me on fire. And he goes, oh, those twins are just going through an arson phase. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, he's a pretty laid back dad. And
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And but he does, even when she leaves, it's very sweet. He's like, but I'm a good father. Like he does... aim to be, want to be.
I might push back on that, Jamie. He's a really bad dad. Yeah. Like, I understand that, okay, we find out later that he's working a second job to make money, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, whatever.
But he has no sweet but moments with
it's
the kids.
Really, it's really tough to argue that he's a good father. Like, I love when she's like, hey, your youngest one, he can't read. And his reaction is like, I don't know, maybe he'll like learn to read from the smut mags that the other ones just leave it around the house. When he says to her like, oh, I guess my kid's masturbating in the bathroom again. I'll just build you another bathroom. Pretty great.
He's very carefree, no responsibility, a little immature, maybe.
Yep. It's a very like, I want to be their friend, not their dad situation. Yeah. So this is when we find out that, like you said, her husband, husband, they don't like each other. He wants to watch Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous and find out who the top 10 yacht owners are. I guess he thinks maybe he'll make the list.
He's inspired by it. Yeah.
And this is a great scene because he has her get up to find her wedding rings.
Mm-hmm.
She stands in front of the TV to put on her robe, blocking his view.
Yeah.
And then when she leaves, he takes her pillows off the bed and throw them on the floor.
He's mad. She's mad. Yeah, and she goes up to the boat, to the top deck, I guess. Mm-hmm. And she left her rings in a very precarious spot, I'll say.
I'll just leave these 2 inches from the edge of the boat, and I'm sure they'll be fine.
I'm glad they were still there when she went for them, but when she does go for them, she loses her footing a bit. She does holler for help, and her husband just, like, turns the volume up on his TV.
Yep.
And I think even, what's his name, hears, and they're just like, was that something? No, because, again,
he's downstairs listening to a Walkman, like jamming out in the kitchen area, just having his own little party at the end of the night.
But ignores it. Has a moment where he's like, maybe, And she does. She falls overboard. The only reason her husband knows is because the next morning the TV is still on and he sees on the news her picture where they're like, they found this. And I love the pictures where she just looks crazy because she's like just fresh out of the water. And she's but he then looks to the side of the bed and he's like, oh, she's not there. She's on the TV. She's gone missing. And it doesn't even take a beat where he's like, well, then let her stay missing.
Yeah.
You know,
it is. I'm even surprised he shows up to the hospital to just almost check in on her.
Like, well, that is. But he remembers the attitude that she brings. It's like a dream come true for him in a sense. How do I live this lifestyle without her? And he does. I think at one point he's like, it's a blessing to him, essentially.
I'm just surprised that nobody else aboard this ship has seen any of the news, I guess, or questions why they're turning around and going back to this town for him to then get off the boat, go to the local hospital, look in a two-way mirror in a hospital and go, nope.
Well, she's in the psych ward, right? That's why the two-way mirror, because for observation.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that, yes.
They think she's bananas. Yeah, I'm guessing, again, it seemed to be that when she went overboard, everybody was relieved that she was gone. Mm-hmm. And she's okay, so that's fine. And she doesn't remember. They say on the news, I do like the little thing where the news guy has his own thing and he's married to the news, the reporter. Yeah. Uh-huh. And when the reporter, Joanna, well, she's not Joanna, I guess she's midway between being Joanna and Annie.
Jane Doe.
And she talks about her bad hair, and even the news reporter later on is like, well, this lady talked about my wife's hair and really upset her. So, but she is still unidentified. Yeah.
One of my favorite things is the guy doing the news report on the air literally breaks into the movie we're watching and says, sorry for interrupting the movie, but now we have to check on this woman. I thought that was kind of meta and
it
fun.
Is kind
I
of
really
fun.
Enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Did you notice that the police officer at the hospital is Ray Combs from Family Feud?
Oh,
yeah. The guy who took over for Richard Dawson.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's kind of fun. Yeah. They're just, they're over.
They're so, like, they're done with this woman. Just the idea that they put a picture of an attractive woman up on the news and are like, someone take her off our hands.
Yeah.
And all Kurt Russell has to do, not show any ID, not anything. The doctor is even about to give her to him and she's like, what? Shouldn't he have some proof?
Well, and I love the proof that he does give.
Yes. But the doctor even looks at him and is like, I'd love to let you take her, buddy. But, you know, she's got a point here, maybe.
Yeah, you got to at least prove
that you're going to. These people just want her out.
Well, yeah, because she's been from the boat to now post-boat, she's a raging just bitch.
Yeah.
She's not having it. She's like, I have a semi-private room, and because there's a woman in the room with her. And
she yells
has,
at that lady for snoring.
Yes. Yeah, you snore, by the way. She has certain standards. She yells at the one guy playing chess on the sideboard. I forget what she says to him.
Playing chess, you mean eating checkers?
Oh, eating checkers. Yeah. Sorry.
It's fun. Like, it's a fun scene because Kurt Russell sees her on the local news. He's doing some work at the bowling alley and he sees her. And immediately, like, it's not like a friend of his goofy friend is like, hey, you know what you should do? This is his idea for the job.
No, he gets all excited. Like, wait, she doesn't know who she is? And she's just out there? Yeah. Like, well, and again, it's in a revengeful way. Like, I'm going to take full advantage of her lack of memory and her ability to just do what I want her to do.
This man not thinking through this fully. Like,
of course not.
Is this against the law? Could I do serious time? No, whatever. I'm going to have this woman pay off my $600 bill by randomly being like, I don't know, at $25 a day, maybe? Where are these numbers coming from?
Does he even talk it over with his friend? I don't think he does.
No, he says this to his friend.
No, he just says it
later on.
Oh,
like,
right.
Later on. Once she's in his house, his friend's like, I don't know, dude, this seems like bad news.
Yeah.
He's like, listen, $25 a day. I'm like, are these babysitting numbers? Like, where are you getting this money? He's like, I don't know. After a while, then he doesn't even say what the end game was. And I'm wondering, is the end game to kill this poor woman? Because how do you let her go?
Just ship her back. Just leave her at the dock and wait for the yacht to come back and pick her up. All right, your time is served. You're done.
Yeah, your time is served.
I guess
when her husband finally picks her up.
He does not think it through. Even the fact that he had a loose story of even how they met and memories of her and even, well, and like the doctor does ask for more like proof. And his proof is, like you said earlier, when they're both scantily clad, but no sexual tension at all, which was marvelous, in the yacht, she's got a very skimpy swimsuit on and she's got a birthmark. On her butt cheek. He says, all right, if you want to know a secret, Like, I don't have paperwork to say we're married. I don't have pictures to show that we are. No birth certificates for the kids. Nothing like that. But I can tell you what she has on the on her little butt cheek. And that will convince you. And she...
This convinces everyone, including her.
Yeah, including her. She looks and she's like, I do have that. Well, he must be mine if he knows about the birthmarks on my butt.
It is wild that these people working at the hospital are like, I don't know, like, she's pretty good looking, he's pretty good looking. It makes sense that they might be together.
Let's just put them together.
And in my mind, I'm watching this like, well, Ted Bundy was an attractive man. Like, any maniac could come in here, I think, and take this woman off their hands.
Well, especially, like you said, he's new in town. It's not like the doctor knows him. Well, I guess then that's why. Aha. Mm-hmm. It all is just clicking.
Oh, they
that's
don't even ask. They don't even ask why they him had to, for ID to identify who he is.
That's why they had to make him new in town, though.
Oh, sure. Them, yes.
Aha. Uh-huh. See how that all clicked in.
Yeah. New in town to where I love how he met that teacher and talked about how his wife died. And I'm going to say 2 weeks later, the teacher's like, wait, your dad got remarried already? How did that happen?
Well, the teacher didn't. He did. So,
yeah. Also, I have another question. This will happen later on, but his friend who lives in the trailer, going to call him Mike again.
Yeah.
Mike is dating the woman who worked at the bowling alley.
Yeah.
Is she in on this too? Because they all go to a picnic together and she's not pulling her aside being like, lady, I think you got to know what's going on.
Yeah,
here.
I think you should. No, maybe she. Oh, well, it was on the news. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe she is in on it.
Oh, the whole town is in on it, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because nobody liked her. She wasn't a likable.
Oh, right. No, yeah. No.
So
he takes her back. Oh,
and
God.
He drives her back. She's in the back of the truck like a. And it's just like looking out like, what is this? Where is this? And she says, none of this feels familiar.
No.
None of it.
No.
And when they pull up to that move here.
Yeah. When they pull up to the house and she's like, we live here deliberately, which I think is really great. Also, he sent his. So here's the other thing is she walks in and the kids are like, mom, to which I'm like, oh, God, he talked to his kids about like.
They have a whole
guess
plan.
What we're going to do. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're
can you go
okay
out and
with
buy
it.
Women's clothing and just leave it strewn mm-hmm. about the house.
Which is pretty funny, too. And they're like, we didn't know what to get. And she was. Yeah. He's like, you were short and fat, basically. And she's like, I won't.
But then she's not in the wedding photos, so then he has to be like, you were constantly gaining weight and then losing it and gaining it again. That's why you look so depressed. This is where we find out that these kids' personalities. Not much of the one kid is into acting somehow. Mm-hmm. One kid loves pornography. The other one imitates Pee Wee Herman, and the other one was in Big.
That's a good breakdown of the boys. Yes. But they are all rowdy. They are four boys that are, and two very adorable dogs. When those dogs are on the bed and they shoo them away, and when those dogs are, they're really sweet little, well, they're not little, they're good sized pups, but very
I
active
understand.
As well.
Yeah, I understand that you just had amnesia. You're trying to get back into your life. You're trying to make the best of this. But man, if I was in this position, I don't think it would be 2 days before I go and I try and find a divorce lawyer. I'm like, this life might not be for me. Maybe I liked it before. Something happened when I fell in the water. Now this is not, like, I might want to just start a new life.
Well, and she does kind of say that. She's like, this could not have been mine. Yeah. This, I'm not happy here. We're not happy. And he's like, this is our life, you know? And she's, for what it's, she doesn't know at the time any better than to just figure out how to adjust if this really is her life, right?
Oh, God, when we see her in the kitchen and she just has a full chicken, and he says, well, I hunted for that. And I was like, you hunted for a domesticated chicken? Like, those chickens aren't in the wild. You shot someone's chicken and
maybe
brought it
home.
Maybe
it's their chicken. She's got the full chicken, the wings and everything. She's trying to stuff it in a pot. She clearly has no idea. This is fun, too. I think she's maybe sticks some carrots in there. I'm not sure. She has no idea at all how to cook.
No.
She's got the pot boiling. The chicken won't all the way fit. She's trying to close the lid. Yep. And the boys and Dean is Kurt Russell's character named Dean. They're just at the table literally balancing spoons on their noses, just waiting for dinner to figure itself out. Until she nearly starts a fire because Again, yes. Doesn't know what she's doing.
She doesn't
in
know
the
what
kitchen.
She's doing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so he already, at the end of the night, he's like, hey, I got to go out. I blow off some
this
steam
is what I do,
every night.
Right.
This is what I do. Later, we find out that he's leaving to go work a second job. But yeah. No, not now. He literally is bowling, and he throws booze all over himself. So he go home and pretend to be drunk to, like, hit on her, but with the express purpose that she won't be into it. So then he gets to say, hey, you know what you love to do? Sleep on the couch with yeah. the dogs.
Yes, this is quite the interesting plan. Yeah, he gets his night out. He gets his time with the boys. And his friend for a minute is like, well, you know, she's a pretty lady. Are you going to try anything? And again, I love it because he's truly not. Like you said, he does the setup with the smell and right. the alcohol so that she's not into it. He doesn't want yes. to. He really just wants her to help get
right.
the house yeah. in order, do the chores, mind the boys, and he doesn't.
Yes. Yeah, he's like, I don't know, kidnapping is one thing, but if you put statutory rape on top of that, I really feel like I would do some serious
pushing
time
some envelopes right. here. Pushing yes. too much. So yeah, so she's not into to whatever. She
yeah.
ignores
she
his...
goes to the couch. Yes. Yeah. And where she sleeps with the dogs.
He says, like, it's because you have a bad back. You sleep right, out there. Yes.
But the whole roof is leaking.
Oh, that's pretty fun. She has this. So the roof is leaking on her, and she has a little daydream where she's dancing
oh, God,
by a piano,
yeah, this
right?
Dream is
it's kind
wild.
Of great. Yeah.
I assume the piano is played by her psychiatrist.
And there's like confetti or something falling from the ceiling. It keeps yeah. dripping in her eye. And then you realize that she's got two pans and she's snoozing on the
yep.
with the pups on the couch.
Mm-hmm. And this is now we're into her daily routine.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's funny how Kurt Russell says, listen, you've been through a lot. I knew you wouldn't do it. So I made a list of your daily chores for you. And she gets this place in ship shape.
Eventually. There's a yeah. nice little kind of montage that happens where first
oh, there's
it's
some
a
montages
struggle.
In this movie.
Yeah. First, there's a struggle for her to figure it all out, and where do you start? But then she's clean. She's cutting cobwebs with scissors, and
yep.
she's watching the old. They have an old-fashioned like washing machine, and it
this
moves around
1920s era washing machine with the big rollers to dry things. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess you just squeeze the water out and yeah. then hang it up to dry.
Yeah. So she's got. She's figuring out how to wash the dishes and even how to cook things. She eventually mm-hmm. makes a chocolate pie, not brownies, but a chocolate
That's,
pie.
That's
she's got
that
there's
whole
a
thing's insane.
All right, so this is her montage, right? Where she cleans and she yeah. cuts the cobwebs, she vacuums up banana peels, and she hoses down the table. So she takes the. This is kind of fun when the tablecloth, she just scoops up the tablecloth of all
yep.
the things on it and takes it and hoses it down and gets
she
the house.
She doesn't even hose it down. She wraps everything up in the tablecloth, takes it over the sink, puts it all in the sink, and then just takes like detergent and just squeezes
yeah.
it like dish soap on top of all of it and then just runs the water
and
on
then,
there.
But that cleans yeah. it, right? That's going to clean
but it.
But
it was a tough day because then she's like in a catatonic state while these little turd kids throw grapes at
yeah.
them.
Well, because here's where it ends, all this montaging. She does some things. She almost gets attacked by the washing machine. And then she takes a chainsaw to this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so she's got this chainsaw in her hand because she's got to fix something. Is it? I know they
I
say, like, oh, she's...
I don't know if it's, like, cutting wood or... I'm not sure what she's supposed to be doing with this chainsaw.
But the chainsaw is pretty funny because when she's holding it, she makes this, like, face, yeah. and it's very, very goldy and very fun.
It's a very... I'm not really holding a chainsaw because I think she's behind, like, hanging laundry, so you don't see what's in her hands, but it's just her
shaking
and
making
chainsaw
this chainsaw
noises.
Yes. So when the boys went, and the place looks great, and Kurt Russell comes home, or Dean comes home, and he's like, what's going on with her? And the boys are all around her, and they say she has been sitting there in a catatonic state, mumbling.
Yeah.
Yep. And first she says nothing, and then does she start with the buh-buh-buhs? And they're like, I love
she
it.
Does.
Even the Pee Wee Herman says, she's just going, buh-buh-buh-buh-buh-buh-buh. Pretty great.
These kids, I couldn't imagine my life. I really felt for Goldie Hawn in this movie. I understand you are a rich, entitled, horrible person to this man, but you don't deserve this. Like,
They're a little menacing.
He dunks her in a tank. He takes her out and puts her... Later on, when she's like, no, don't dunk me in the tank again, I was like, oh, this is really traumatic for her. Well, and he's like, no, I'll let you sleep in the bed tonight. All right, that's great.
Yeah, this is the one she... So, yeah, he dips her... To snap her out of it, he dips her in the cold barrel and then brings her back inside and is like, all right, it's been a long day. You've gone through a lot, you know, and you clearly did some effort. So you could sleep in the bed, but he's standing in the closet space doing that thing to his shirt.
Yeah.
Where he's stretching it out and showing off his side nips a little bit. And she has like a little flashback of him with the shoes in the closet. And she's like, you, the closet. And he's like, oh yeah, we used to do it in the closet all the time.
Yes. He's like, you're right. This is me and this is our closet.
Yeah, yeah. And okay, and then great. I love it when even when she makes references here and there, like, oh, you used to like to do it like this or do it like that, or calls her sugar lips and sweet lips, and she's like, enough with the sugar lips.
Yep.
And like, stop telling me about the sex jokes. It's not, I'm over it.
Well, that's what the next day she's finally like, listen, I went through this whole house and I'm going to need you to show me some proof that you did not kidnap me because there's no pictures of us or any evidence that a woman has ever lived here. And he's like, oh, well, we just, okay, you're making a lot of stuff up. Please, flood, fire.
Yeah.
No, they may have gotten lost in the move. Come on. I'm not buying it, man. And I love how he's like, I'll look for those tonight and I will present you with evidence tomorrow.
He needs a little time to get his act together.
Twice in this movie, time frames don't make any sense from a character's perspective. Later, when Mona calls and it's like, listen, you haven't let me talk to my daughter in 2 months. Here's what I'm going to do. I'll give you 1 week. Like, lady, what?
Yeah, you're supposed after 2 months, say, she still gets an extension?
If she doesn't call me in an hour, I'm calling the police. Like, that's what you say.
Right. She's like, but I got to give you some time to get to sort through your things.
I'll give you 1 week to dispose of my daughter's body.
Maybe she was busy getting some stuff, some living her Mona life. So she's like,
his excuse is bad, where he's like, she's in bed. Well, then wake her up. That should be what Mona says next.
So, a week to wake her.
So he goes to his friend. His friend's name is Billy. I finally wrote it down.
Oh, nice.
And he says to him, he knocks on the window to his trailer, not the door for some reason, and says, hey, listen, remember how you made us fake IDs in high school? I'm going to say 20 years ago. you can do that same thing with these pictures from the news and also old wedding photos of mine.
Actual wedding photos, yeah.
And his friend's like, all right, no problem. I'll do it.
Yeah, I'll get it. I'll figure it out. And he does. He does. Yes. And these are enough. He presents them to her on the porch, and this seems to be enough for her to be like, okay, I guess that means that I rub your feet.
I rub your feet when your pig friend comes over to watch football.
Well, we have a little in-between scene then where we see her ex or her husband partying on the boat. Yeah. Yeah. He's just enjoying, looks like underage ladies listening to rap music on the boat.
He's like, I've been fucking painted ladies or whatever he says to her.
He calls them painted ladies. Yeah. I love it.
The one black woman, he really does love her so much. I forget what her name is. Like, I want to call it Firuza, but I'm just thinking Firuza Balk.
I wrote it now. Firuza, it's something. Balk. Yeah, I don't think I wrote that down. Sorry, maybe I did.
I'm busy thinking about the worst witch, which is what I do most days.
Another one with a good soundtrack that'll get in your head if you let it. All right, back to this though. Back to this. Don't sidetrack me too much. But so yeah, their next scene together, now she's convinced that she belongs here, and him and his buddy are watching sports on the TV, and she's rubbing his feet. She's got dinner together already. They've already eaten, and she's just, you know, she's fallen kind of into line. But, oh, I love it because Billy, the friend, this is when she looks at him and she goes, why does Billy just keep staring at me? And he is. He's just staring straight ahead obnoxiously at her with his beer in hand. And
well, could you imagine? Could you imagine being in this guy's position, being like, my friend has kidnapped a really, really attractive woman, convinced her that they're married, and now I'm just sitting here watching her rub his feet while we
watching
football.
This pseudo reality happen, right? Yeah. And so, but Dean says, well, it's because the two of you used to date.
That's yeah, he was your high school boyfriend. I want her to be like, that town that's a nuclear fallout area? Did we all go to high school together there?
She's like, oh, God. Oh, I like the, oh, then he burps and she makes a face like, oh, this was my reality, I guess.
Yeah.
So now, these are boys that she lives with. So they're a handful of pranksters. So what they do is I did love this scene growing up. It was just fun. They put glue on the plate. So she is getting pie ready for dinner or for dessert. Kurt Russell asked for it.
Chocolate cream pie.
He asked for brownies and she's like, I didn't make brownies, but I did make chocolate cream pie because the little boy asked for that.
I saw them on your list that you made me this morning, but I didn't have the ingredients, but I managed to come up with something that had chocolate in it.
But now the boys have put glue on the plates. So when she goes to get them plates, her hands are plates. And she's complaining, what did you do? What did you guys do? Right? She's totally upset. And the boys just think it's hilarious.
Jamie, I feel like I have three girls. Mm-hmm. And throughout, people don't ask me anymore. But certainly after one, after two, after three, I would get the question that people would ask you when they find out you have three daughters. Like, oh, are you kind of sad that you didn't have a boy? Like, it never occurred to me that I ever honestly wanted a boy. And mm-hmm. I think it's because I watched this movie a lot. And I was like, boys are horrible.
Sons are the worst.
They're the worst.
Yeah.
These kids are terrible. Like, terrible, terrible. Like, I understand it's for comedic value how terrible these kids are. But also, I don't know what this household has been like for the past 3 years since their mother died. Also, their mother could have been a huge piece of shit. Like, yeah. I don't know.
They were always raised by their dad. Maybe that's why they're so crazy.
The fact that one kid can't read anything has to be alarming. Like, that would be, I understand that he's the youngest, but he's still going to school. It's not like he's in preschool or daycare. Like, this kid's
around
in first or second grade. And no one else seems to be alarmed by this fact. But yeah, they glue plates to her hands. When she brings him that pie and puts it right in front, like, you just,
you're waiting for her to push it in his face, but she doesn't.
Even he is just sitting there like, I think I know what's going to happen.
Yeah, because she presents the pie on her plated hand, literally her glue plated hand. And she brings it right to his face, and there's this moment of, this is going to happen. And
there's
then
this
she
moment,
just...
there's this moment in his eyes where he's like, the jig is up.
Yeah.
She's going to mash this pie in my face, and my friend is going to be like, I can't watch this
anymore.
I have to tell her. Like, this is all cruel.
But she doesn't. She places it down and says, here's your pie. Mm-hmm. And they don't have forks, and she can't necessarily get them forks on account of no fingers to grab the forks with.
Right.
And they just start eating like animals with their hands. They just start digging in like a bunch of savages.
Kids sticking their hands in there. I expect his friend to be like, I don't want any of this now. Don't.
No, they all go for it. They're all in it. And then she comes back with the fire extinguisher. And somehow.
Just a hose.
Oh, it was a hose? Oh,
yeah,
I thought it was.
No, it's a hose.
Oh, yeah, it is the hose. Sorry. Yeah. It's later that she does that. Yeah.
But I love the fact that the plates are still on her hands.
Yes,
and she uses them to turn the hose on them and spray them. Yes. And yes, she's like, this is a turning point. She's finally having fun. The kids run away.
They chase, tackles
them in the woods.
They tickle. They have a little tickling is always a good. It's a game changer.
I got to tell you, it was a very upper Northwest woods. Like, all I saw at that Stuga were ferns all over the place, and that's what these kids were rolling around
that's
in.
That's where they're rolling through.
It was
through.
Nice. Shot it was really on location. Fun. So this is when she's finally kind of taken to these kids.
Mm-hmm.
She finds out that the one kid can't read.
Mm-hmm.
Also, his Andy Warhol Pee Wee Herman poster in his room is really cool. I would love to have that thing. Okay, so the teacher is really having an issue with these kids. Understandable. And some random girl? Who's this little girl?
I don't know.
It's like she's the fifth member of their gang or something.
But she doesn't last. Even when they get in trouble, she's just, right. It's just so to show to you there's it, other kids in the school.
She has to bring in the parents.
Yes.
So they both show up, but at different times. Goldie Hawn's there first and goes in. And Kurt Russell decides to hang back in the hall and kind of just listen to how she handles it.
Yeah.
Because the big thing is that these kids, I guess, refused to take a placement test.
Yeah, it's like a standardized placement test that they won't take, that she needs them to take. And they're complaining that they're sick and she's not believing them. And she's like, and they're a hot mess anyway. And I told your husband to get them under control and they've not been. And at first, Goldie Hawn is like, yeah, I know. They're a bunch of little kids. Yes. And I'm doing my best too. And we're all going to do our best. And then she takes a look at them and she sees that they have rashes. They have poison ivy, poison oak all over their
faces.
Poison
oak, yes.
So she freaks out on the principal slash teacher.
Lays into this principal slash teacher.
And she's like, did you not notice that they have this poison oak? And how is it more important that the health of the children are compromised versus their standardized testing? And how dare you say anything about my husband? He might be a slob and he might be disgusting, but he's my disgusting slob. And again, the whole time Kurt Russell is listening outside, and the kids now are hearing like, oh, wow, she really does like care for us and want us to.
Yes.
And then the next scene is super sweet. Kurt Russell tiptoes out.
What I really like about this scene is that we keep cutting back and forth between what's going on in the classroom and Kurt Russell. And he is loving this. He's having a great time.
Sure.
Except when they're on their way out and the kids are like, man, dad never did anything like that for us before. And that's when he's like, oh, maybe I'm a bad dad.
Yeah. And how easy it is for him to be like replaced in a sense. Because when he says to them later, like, would you rather her or me or her? And they're kind of like, her.
Yeah, her.
He's like, eh.
Right. The first thing I was thinking, when they have rashes all over their body, I was thinking, it's probably from their squalid living conditions.
But then they were tickling and playing out in the woods, like you said, and that's how they... But then it's really sweet. She's up in their room with them, which is like, their room is this up...
It's just the attic space.
It's above. Yeah. It's like this little loft area. But she's up there. She puts calamine lotion all on them and tries to make sure that they don't itch. This is when she finds out that the kid can't read because she says to read the directions on the bottle and he throws the bottle.
Chucks that bottle.
Mm-hmm. And then the other kids are like, yeah, he can't read. It's kind of frustrates the shit out of them, and it is what it is.
The kids are like, the teacher makes fun of them, and I wanted her to say, wait, your teacher? His teacher? The principal? Are these the same people? Yeah. Is this who are we talking about now? So then this is when that night he says, I gotta go out. Me and the boys just ripping up the town. And she lays into him finally, like, you're a terrible father. Your kids are a mess. The one can't read. The other kid's jerking off all day long in a bathroom. Yeah.
Well, she says she wants, it's very sweet where she says, we need to talk. We need to have a night. You can't go out. We need to talk about the kids. And he's like, no, I got to go out. So she does. She lays into him about these kids being a wreck and him not being there for them and what's going on. And she even says, I think, like, is this really how we live? This is it? And he's like, yeah, listen, you never had an issue with it before. I'm going out. But when he comes back, this is when there's change of hearts happening, right? When he comes back at night from his job, he's not really going out.
We
don't know that yet. Yeah.
Right.
He notices the fridge is clean. There's beer. It's full and got the beer's eggs and
all
beer.
Lined up with the labels showing.
And he sees how she's really trying and how it's really making a difference. And so he does come to her and she's laying on the couch back facing her. And he kind of gives her a heartfelt apology. Like, I'm sorry, you're right. I do need to try a little harder and I will, but can you look at me when I apologize to you, woman? Because I can't apologize to your back. And she's like, I'm not pretty. And sure enough, he's got the poison. She's got the poison oak all over her face. Mm-hmm. And he even says, like, you are usually pretty, but not right now. Because they're like welts on her cheeks. But yeah.
And this is when we go, they have a cookout. Mm. With Billy and his girlfriend and some other random people that are there just playing volleyball with them.
I mean, it's a park. So, oh, this is when she realizes. So she's already had the one flashback of him in the closet. But they're, I don't know what they're eating at the picnic, but she starts talking in French and realizes.
She's speaking French. And she's like, do I know what I just said? Yes, I do know what I just said.
Uh-huh.
And also this is when it's revealed. And,
oh,
and
this is the golf?
It was talked about before, but. Billy and Dean want to get money to open a mini golf course.
Yeah. There's some investors that are interested.
Yeah. They don't have a real good idea. Billy's idea is like breweries around the world or something. Like all breweries look the same. They just look like factories. That's a terrible idea. But I have to say, not a good idea. Her idea's no better. Her idea's the same as every dumb golf mini golf course I've been to.
But it's
where she's
not
like,
an Elk
maybe
County.
An Eiffel Tower. Yeah. Maybe pyramids.
That's why the French, yeah, yeah.
Yes, that's because she starts to not realize, but she's a jet setter. She's mm-hmm. been around the world. She knows all of these monuments and everything like that and pitches this idea mm-hmm. to which they're like, what a great idea. Maybe we should go with this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is where my notes end. I'm sorry.
Oh, so okay.
You gotta take us from here on out.
This is when she gets into the artistry of it all, and she can draw with her markers all the different seven wonders to make some blueprints, I guess, that he'll present the night of his meeting.
Yeah, these blueprints look like Kevin McAllister's blueprints for setting traps.
Oh, they're super fun. She's literally, I know the marker set she's using. It's the Mr. Smelly marker set. Oh, I recognized
kids,
it. I'm like,
my
not
kids
only
use,
is it.
My kids use smelly markers now. They are not nearly that good. Like, those things must have been so wildly toxic they can't make them anymore. But those ones smelled really great.
Yeah, those pictures not only look great, they smell great too, I'm sure of it. Right. This is when, again...
I can smell the cherry and the lemon just by watching it.
Yeah, exactly. This is when she tells the kids, like, your dad's not around. He went bowling. And they go mm-hmm. without his bowling ball. And the bowling ball is still at the house. So she takes their other car. I didn't know they had more than one, but she takes the truck out.
There are two cars, actually. There are a couple times in here where we see him come back in the truck and there's something else sitting there. This is where there's too much. If I'm going to have a criticism of this movie, there's too much going on. I understand we need to see him working a second job to provide for his family. Yes, great. You're painting him in a better light. I thought in my mind, this was the start of her being suspicious of him having an affair. No, that happens later. And that's about 5 minutes of this movie.
Well,
right.
Well, because it should be noted when she was released from the hospital, all they gave her was the couple of pictures, some paperwork, and I guess she was found just in her undies. Because all they give her is the undies.
I mean, she wasn't just a robe. All we saw was a robe, so I guess she had nothing on, and maybe the robe. When she was picked up by garbage fishermen or something.
Yeah, they do keep saying that the garbage
right,
men.
Yes. And the garbage fisherman's like, fuck, fuck, fuck. And then he's like, you can't say that on the air. And he's like, no, I'm Portuguese. That's how you say seal in Portuguese.
Yeah,
not sure if
right.
that's right.
That's right. That's right. When he gets these panties, though, when he stuffs them in the glove compartment. So we'll see that later.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. We'll see that later. But
again,
right now,
they release this woman and give her possessions to her husband.
Yeah. Yeah. But she might be concerned that he's cheating. She just knows that he's lying. He says he's bowling and the bowling ball's there. So she goes in town to look for him. And this is when she sees him hauling feed at the fish, where does he work? He's hauling some kind of bags of stuff.
I don't know, but it's like the middle of the night and all you hear is a guy, somebody saying, this is really good feed. It is made of fish guts and fish head and sawdust.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who's he talking to? And also, who's talking?
Well, it's the, I don't know, the so she sees this now, and now this gives her a fuller picture of who he is and how he operates. Yeah. This is when she also, one of the kids makes an invention. She just shows you how encouraged she is even to the kids. The toilet bowl flushing and the blinds open.
What's happening?
I think, it's just to show you that she's got an interest in the kids and she's, you know, she's helping the dad with his creation. And this.
I'm glad you brought this up because I kind of forgot about it. But when it happened, I went, why? Was there a conversation about, like, boy, whenever I go in after you take a shit, the blinds aren't up? Like, I just don't understand what this invention does.
Because this is the Mr. Big, or the big kid, right? This is the kid from Big that has this. I think it's just to show that she's invested in all
smart.
Of them.
Okay. Yes. But what I do have to say is, again, I'm not trying to fix your movie. You're a genius.
It's a wonderful movie.
Who directed it. But wouldn't it be better if you flushed the toilet and then the window opened to let the stinky air out?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a window open, not a blind open. But that's why even she's that's nice.
Yeah,
that's
a real you did a good job with
that. Yeah, you did it. You did that. That's something you did. This is when she also is reading the comic book with the little kid. All of the kids are. The one kid is playing the piano. The other kid
they got their shit together.
Yeah,
the other kid's doing homework.
Yeah, he's excited to do his math homework. And she and the little kid are reading a comic book together. Yeah. And
I do think it's funny how he walks in and the one kid's like, I invented a toilet flusher today. And the one kid goes, I got 3 parts in the new musical at school. This other kid's reading. The other kid goes, and I'm failing math.
Yeah, that's the one that masturbates all the time, the oldest.
Yes, he's very busy.
Yeah. Oh, this is when the little kid gives her the pasta necklace, which is really sweet. They have a sweet conversation where he's like, you're never going to leave, right? Moms don't leave. And she's like, I'm not going to leave you. You know, and it's a very sweet. And when he comes home.
Oh, God. Yeah. When that kid says, you're never going to leave, right? And she's like,
an option?
Don't leave. The other kids practically are like, they really thought that little kid was going to spill the beans.
Yeah. Now this is Kurt Russell comes home and he's going to spill the beans now. He's almost going to tell her what's going on. I think it's just a shock to him to see it's like he comes home and everybody's in such a great state that he's like, that's it. I have to tell her. And he starts to, and I think that he could tell from the boy, like it's just, this is not the right time.
Oh, those kids are ready to watch him tell her. Like it's not, nobody puts pressure on him. This is him realizing this probably won't go the way I think it will.
So he instead says that it's her birthday. That I forgot to tell you that it's your birthday. And so they decide to celebrate her. It's really sweet. They go out. This is where, again, now we see she's bonded with the kids more. And now she's going to have another bond with Dean, with Kurt Russell.
We gotta watch this, I don't know, garbage band follow them around. This is the same band that's at the grand opening of the mini golf course.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They sing Jim Dandy, I think, 4 times in this movie. We also, when they're outside being somewhat romantic, we hear an Elvis song, but it's just a cover of an Elvis song. It's like, we have this much money to pay for a song, but not for the real people to sing.
Well, it's a live band. That's why he took her out to see live music for her birthday.
I know, but you don't need to play an Elvis cover over. Oh, is that same band inside playing the Elvis cover?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I just thought it was music that was playing.
Oh, gotcha.
All right.
Yeah. They dance. They have a great time. They go outside. He tells this lovely story about because one of the ships sounds its horn 3 times.
Yeah.
And he gives her this lovely romantic story about.
I got to tell you, I'm watching Kurt Russell dance and I'm just fanning myself.
Yeah,
he's
looking good.
Like, I got to. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
great.
Not allergic to sleeves anymore. He's wearing full sleeves.
Yeah, he's looking good.
Because they're going out on the town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this is where they share a kiss. Oh, so he tells her this sweet story, which is toward the end, you'll see this happen about this Portuguese ship and this guy that fell overboard for his love. And then the parent didn't, I don't know. What's the story? Tell us the story. Her father didn't want them to be together. And so they were
a real Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
Like, but then
they die together at the bottom of the sea.
Yes.
But every time you see the waves come up on the shore, it's them making love and being eternally in love. And it's this lovely story that she's really into. And then they share a kiss.
Also, Jamie, I guess I don't know a whole lot about very specific history. Did the Portuguese found Seattle? Like, why is the garbage guy Portuguese? This is a Portuguese tale.
I think, like, there are, is, they something,
tied to the Pacific Northwest?
Yeah, I think there is. Because even, yeah. And boating and Portuguese. Yeah, it's a whole thing. Yeah.
And I think I keep saying Northeast. I mean Northwest.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're from Northeast, so this is a slip.
Okay. I'm constantly thinking about the time I tricked a woman into thinking she was married to me. She hasn't found out yet. Don't tell Carla.
I will not. She's even doing podcasts with you and everything.
Yep. I fished her out of the ocean, and I went, you know, we're doing a Schitt's Creek podcast together.
She's come, like, in the closet. Let's do it.
This is my life.
Come on. Now, they make sweet love. You mentioned this is very, it's beautiful. It really is. They're two beautiful people. The chemistry is there. And they...
At one point, are they on the floor?
Yeah,
at
they one just, point, it and then goes they're back in the bed. Yeah.
Like, it's really
It's just
a,
enough, too. It's not too hot. It's not Roadhouse hot and heated.
No.
But it is not.
It certainly isn't. But it is a real, like, dusk to dawn situation.
Well, because...
Like,
there's a
They're
connection
in it
there
for the long haul.
Yeah,
because they start. It's pitch black, and then it's morning. They're still up.
Yeah,
and, like, just settling down at
and
that.
And she
point.
Even says, "Was it always like this?" And he's like, yeah. "Every time with you is like the first time, because this really is their first time." The kids knock on the door, to which the dad's like, "What?" And not only was her gift the gift of lovemaking all night long, but he also bought her a new washing machine.
Happy birthday. Here's a washing machine. So when you tend to us monster children, we're going to make it slightly easier for you.
Yeah. And she's like, those are expensive. It's really, again, yeah. You just see this nice connection, and she's
right.
She's becoming more real and accepting this life that he's kind of given to her. But,
so I have one thing to say about this particular scene is Gary Marshall, one thing you should have cut. I understand it's played for laughs, but after these kids burst in there and show her this washing machine, they leave, and you hear the one kid say, she doesn't have much in the way of tits, but what a great ass. And I was like, that should be the moment that she's like, wait, what did my child say about me?
Yeah.
Kurt, I think we have to sit down and have a conversation with these children.
Yeah, it's a little inappropriate, but it's played for laughs. Yeah. And you're supposed to think it's that kid that reads the pornos all the time.
It's the, like, kid, but also, like, just don't, right. Like, she's finally coming around. Don't give her a reason to question
but
this
she
anymore.
Doesn't, allegedly she doesn't hear it because she doesn't, like you said, there's no response
on her part. She says, what did she say? Yeah.
Yeah.
She says, what did he say? To Kurt Russell. And then the scene just cuts.
Oh, I didn't realize she even acknowledged it.
It's kind of weird.
Oh, Mona is looking for her daughter. This is the next scene where she's making calls now. She's, again, this is, the wealth comes from this side of the family. She's got this little poodle. I think someone's painting a portrait of her.
Every time they cut to her, it's amazing because she's just in that pink
lap of luxury. Yeah.
She is talking on the phone and there's just a guy painting a giant portrait of her.
Yeah.
It's super fun.
And that her I keep calling her ex-husband, but her husband is still partying on the boat and is like, all right, I guess. Well, this is when she gives him a week, right?
Yeah. This is like, you produce my daughter in a week or you're gone. And we don't get a lead up to this. Like, he finds her immediately.
Well, now he's got to go back. He tells the boat to turn around and the parties have to stop and they have to, you know, the gig is up. The jig is up. Something's up.
It's up. Yes. But not quite, because we have to go to the opening,
the grand opening
of
the
mini golf,
which really is kind of poorly put together. Like, when you really see what the work of Kurt Russell. It is,
I mean,
like,
it's a mini golf course.
It's fun. It's totally fun. And I like it. The kid puts his arm in the golf thing. And she's like, why would you put your arm in there? It's fun. The whole family goes. It's kind of shoddily put together, the golf course, if you ask me. But it's like instead of using cedar, you use oak, right?
It works. It is an operating mini golf
course.
But it's
super fun. The town is happy to have it. There's a big, like, I guess, ribbon, because there's a ceremony. And Kurt Russell, Dean is being thanked for putting it together, and he extends thanks to his beautiful wife.
Yes.
Because without this, and they share a kiss, and oh my God, this is all so wonderful. And even his friend is like, this is everything and anything you could have wanted.
Yeah.
The kids are happy. You're happy. You've got this great gig. You've got money coming
I don't see how this could come to a tragic end. Well, everything's great.
It
now, is this when they go home and this is when she finds
the underwear
in the truck? And his friend spins a yarn about a phone sex operator who decided to visit him and would take checks. What is this?
And he doesn't have a back seat in his car. Not that he was going to take her to the trailer. So
on the fly, just him being like, I found a phone sex operator who would actually accept personal checks.
And it worked. And so I used his truck and this is his underwear. And she buys it. I mean, the story is so...
Because Kurt Russell's going to come clean to her.
He does come clean. He doesn't he say to her, yours, you're Joanna. Right?
Yes, he starts to, but then she thinks he's covering for his friend.
Mm-hmm.
And his friend is like, I'm sorry, I hope you don't think I'm a piece of shit because of this. And she's like, how could I ever think my ex-boyfriend's a piece of shit? It's very bizarre.
It's kind of fun,
Because it's kind of like immediately after this is where her actual husband shows up and just kind of takes her away, like, immediately.
Well, because she snaps back in now. She's starting to get little bits of her memory back. She realized she knows French.
Right.
She remembered kind of, but they all pull up, and the boys even mention something like, whose limo is that? Because there's a limo there.
Yep.
And she sees them. She's running into the house to get something, and she acknowledges her husband and what's his name? The butler there. Who's there? And
Roddy McDowell.
Thank you. I was going to call him Roddy Piper, and he's not a wrestler, so that's why I was like, "That's wrong." But she comes back out, and she's like, "Wait a minute! I know you. I know.
Yeah.
It's here." The doctor said, and she even says, "The doctor said it would just come to me all of a sudden, and this is very suddenly coming to me."
It did.
And then she realizes she's mad because she looks at Kurt Russell, and she's like, "You took full advantage of me. This is what you did."
She says to him, "You lied to me," and I was like, "Honey, he did way more than lie to you.
And
like that might be the least terrible thing he did was lie to you, but there's no like." I'm going to have your kids taken away. You better get ready. The authorities are coming.
No, and even the her husband, or true rich husband or whatever, because what could he say? He didn't claim her for two months.
He doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah. But he also, he's also part of a big scheme of lies because he didn't come for her until now.
Yeah.
So he doesn't get too mad.
He's not a good person.
No, he's just like, we're going to take her back and we'll just... hush all this.
Yes.
Kids are totally disappointed. Kurt Russell really sweetly says, for what it's worth, I think from the bottom of my heart, thank you. You've been real important to the family and whatever. But she goes off and goes back to her boat lifestyle, and she doesn't connect to it anymore.
I'll bet your wife didn't even die, did she?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, no, she wouldn't have known the wife died. No, sorry, never mind.
Yeah, because she was the wife.
She was.
But she goes back to this boat lifestyle. She's not having it.
No. This is when I don't want to really spend too much time on this because it's kind of like the end of the movie. But honestly, this I thought were some of the more fun scenes of the entire movie.
Oh yeah,
her therapist, that guy's great. Yeah. He just comes in, starts playing the piano,
and he's just got an odd way of like. They're like, is this okay? Should she be doing this?
Oh my God. It's amazing. When she picks up a tray of food and tries to serve them and her mother, Mona, yells for her to put it down, the therapist is like, now why did you do that? And she goes, well, because I thought you guys might be hungry. And he's like, that is amazing.
Because I am hungry.
Because I am hungry. I really appreciate it. Like it was so great.
Yeah, his
and
delivery.
Later on, when she's doing shots with the guys working down in the kitchen,
I
thought
fun.
It was incredible. Like, I want to watch a sequel just with her and these turd kids living on this boat and just having so much fun
and
with
just
this
enjoying.
With this crew. Yes. All right, so she's back on the boat. She's making nice with all of the people that work there. Her mother's very, very upset. Not upset, but worried about her.
Well, yeah, she's not acting herself at all. She's
right.
She's picking up trays and trying to serve people. She's kind of being a good hostess, a good person.
She's opening beer. She's not wanting furniture.
Yeah, she went instead of champagne. She wants a beer.
And there are other things that, like, at one point she just wanders in and sees her husband cradling what looks like a giant shell.
Oh, yeah.
Listening, and he's like, I love the sound of the
this
ocean.
This is when he talks about his lover.
He talks about his other prostitute, yeah, that he loves so much.
Uh-huh.
And she just kind of like backs out of the room.
Yeah, she's just not comfortable here. She's just, right. This is not who she is anymore. Even though she can remember it, she doesn't like it. And this is when she gets beautiful advice from Rowdy Roddy Piper. Roddy McDowell. Where she said, he tells her, like, you know, you had the opportunity to experience a different life and realize the life you really want to live. And you're very lucky. Uh-huh. It's really sweet. It's like, it's a perfect, like, you broke the spell and you were able to break that spell and fall. And this is when she realizes she's got to go back. She's got to turn the boat around. She argues
there's something great just about imagining Roddy McDowell saying, listen, Gary, I'll give you the money, but I have to be in this and I want to be the voice of reason. Like,
yeah,
I want to be the guardian angel at the end of this movie.
And he does it well.
He totally is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does a great job. I do hate the fact that at the end of this movie, he does yell at her husband and says he's putting in his 2 weeks notice. And I'm like, I don't think that guy's your employer. Like, you could just keep working for Goldie Hawn. That's fine. You don't need to quit.
But I kind of like it because he's over it too. It's letting you know that he too is just, he's taking his own advice and finding
his... Yeah, he's
like,
I'm either getting bossed around by your wife because of caviar, or I'm just hanging out during your weird orgies.
Yeah, and I'm not a part of it. I'm not into.
Right.
Oh, she also realizes she hadn't realized that the husband never came to claim her at the hospital. Because he says something like, I should have just never...
Left you in the psych ward or something like that.
And she's like, how did you know? And then she realizes, oh, you were there and you didn't even come for me. Which is just kind of the icing on the cake to like, this is not the life meant for me. And this is when she turns the boat around. In the meantime, Kurt Russell has got, is it the Coast Guard or the... Because they have another ship they have to save, right?
Yeah. Well, he enlists the help of his friend, and his friend's like, listen, don't worry, I got a boat. And it's the Coast Guard, to where the guy driving the boat at one point goes, I hope I don't get court-martialed for this. And my thought was, oh yeah, you're frozen too.
There you go.
Can you hear me?
You're not anymore.
Yeah. So the Coast Guard guy's like, I hope I don't get court-martialed for this. And my thought was, you're definitely getting court-martialed for this.
Yeah.
Especially when you say to your superior officer, like, no, I was just helping this guy reunite with his wife. I mean, it wasn't really his wife. He kind of kidnapped this woman, but I just thought I was doing a solid for a friend.
I mean, that's what he ends up doing. So he brings the kids, everybody. They're all on the boat, the Coast Guard boat.
Yep.
And she's turning their boat around, and she hears the three honks, and she knows who it is.
Yep,
and
because of the story.
Yes, he jumps in the water, and then she jumps in the water, and she's got a big gold dress on. Doesn't she have a fancy dress on when she jumps in the water?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Her husband is thrown overboard as well.
Yes.
We have a kid, Gary Marshall's son, is the kid that just yells, now he's overboard. And you can tell this kid, for having a father as a director, he's never acted a day in his life. This kid, it's the worst delivery ever. And he gets to say the titular line 9 times.
He does get to repeat it over and over again. And then he says, man's kissing woman overboard. Doesn't he do that too?
Yep.
Yeah, because they embrace and
it's
kiss.
A real play-by-play. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, the guy who was shooting arrows is now overboard. It's it's a whole thing.
It's a fun, And then they're back on the boat, and they're all happy, and they're kissing, and the kids are all happy. And he's like, is there anything else I can give you? Is there anything else you could want? And she says, maybe a girl to go with all these boys.
Yeah.
And then... We ride off into the sunset with some Randy Newman in the background.
Yeah. The Randy Newman punch in the face at the end of this movie. I was not expecting that.
It's just letting you know we're a cute comedy. At the end of the day, right, there might be some messages about following your heart and staying true and love is real. Yes. But we are just a rom-com is all we are.
Well, so this movie's basically just Criminal Empires. At the end of the day, it's a cute, funny family comedy.
It's really great, the actually. End. You can't. Who doesn't love this movie? Tell me.
I will say.
You're ridiculous.
People are gonna hate me. I did not like this when I was a kid.
You didn't?
I didn't really love it. Now our conversation was way more fun than I had watching this. Ugh. To be honest, I'm sorry. I know it's
a great movie. Great movie, and it's super. The couple and even the goofy story, even with all its fault lines and questionable choices about right. and reality,
and
but
no, and I'm not coming at this from a modern day like this is horrible and he's gaslighting her and stuff like that. I'm not even coming at it from that. There were portions of this movie that I mostly remembered, but then huge chunks that I didn't remember as a kid. Mm-hmm. And when I watched it this time, I was like, oh yeah, those parts are kind of boring. Like all the stuff about the golf course is kind of boring.
It's and all a lot quick, of the, though. It's just part of the story and part of...
Yeah, I don't know. This is just me. Like, this is enough people our age. If you're our age, you love this movie, and I'm not going to argue with you at all.
And it's great.
I'm wrong. I know that I'm wrong.
All right, fair enough.
It's my fault. What I will say, though, and I said this early on, these two are great in this movie.
100%. Like that.
Yeah. If there's a reason to watch it, it is both of them, but it's mainly Goldie Hawn.
She's wonderful.
Just
yeah.
Crushing and it their, at
their,
every moment.
Their chemistry together, super fun. It's a great movie. Everybody loves Overboard.
Yeah. I am surprised they didn't do more movies together. I mean, I know that they're.
Well, maybe they didn't want to be pigeonholed. Maybe work that too.
Maybe work is their time away from each other.
Maybe
that's why they keep this thing going. Yeah, I don't know. I know it's an unpopular opinion. It's yours.
Don't apologize for it. Own it. It's how you feel. What is your recommendation? Is it something old and French?
Did you say old? I watched a movie from 1935, Jamie.
Great. What is it about?
It's called The Black Room. And it's with Boris Karloff, where he plays two characters.
Wow.
And he's like twins. Mm-hmm. And one inherited a castle. Okay. And he's like the governor of an old timey town. And the other one just left and is just living a great life. And the one guy, the brother who's in charge, is a real shitty guy to be in charge. Uh-huh. So he's like, all right, people, you hate me. Here's what I'll do. I'll bring my brother back. He's an amazing dude. You all love him and he'll be in charge.
Okay.
But of course, his plan is to murder his brother, then pretend he's his brother and still be in charge.
Okay.
It's really
so
great.
Similar sort of lies and ways.
Not at all similar. But for a movie in 1935, there's like a lot of split screen of them talking. And it's
done
really
well.
Great.
All right. Yes. Cool. All right.
So that's it. It's just a recent watch. It really has no tie-in, but that's
it's deception and a made-up story. That could be it. I watched recently. I don't think I've recommended it yet. And I guess it's loosely tied because a little girl lives in a lighthouse, which kind of reminded me of a yacht. And then there's a lot of undersea.
It's like a yacht that's on land, I guess.
Because it's water related. It just came out in November, I think, because I watched it over Thanksgiving. It was that Netflix movie. It's called Slumberland with that Jason Momoa. Am I saying his name right? Jason Momoa.
Like the big,
dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's in it. Chris O'Dowd's in it. The little girl that's in it, I've seen her in a couple other things now too. So I thought it was a really sweet story. She lives in a lighthouse with her dad. And her dad gets in a boating accident and passes away. But he used to always tell her these bedtime stories about these imaginary characters. And it turns out she can meet them in this slumberland state, in this dreamlike state. And it's a whole thing. Jason Momoa plays this character that's just this crazy kind of a slumberland hero, I guess. Maybe he's not a hero. It's super fun.
Wait, what's a slumberland hero?
Slumberland is like where you go at night when you dream, and it's how to go through your dreams. And he is I wouldn't say he's the hero there, but he's a fun character that she meets, and she's trying to find her father through these dreams. And
is he like a guide, like a Slumberland guide?
Sort of, but he really is like a carrier. He has horns. He's like this whole... Whoa! Yeah, I thought it was super cute. And I'm not like a... Yeah, I thought it was super cute.
Now, is her dad Chris O'Dowd?
No, that's her uncle in real life. Okay. It's her uncle.
All right.
And then when she goes to sleep, Slumberland is where she hangs out with Jason Momoa because her dad died. So it's super cute. I think the girls would like it. I don't know. I'm kind of into it.
Maybe I'll check it out.
Yeah, I thought it was fun. Netflix. It's a Netflix original, I think.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Awesome. All right. So let's talk about what we're doing next because it's not weird. So if it's not Kurt Russell's birthday, I try and choose things that are related to holidays.
Yeah.
I had to double check this today because I was like, well, this is wrong. I have it in my notes wrong. I shouldn't have picked this movie. If you thought of a day of the year, Jamie, that might be National Prom Day, wouldn't you think of something in May or June?
Yeah, when prom season is.
When school ends?
Yeah.
National Prom Day is March 31st.
That is a weird day for National Prom Day.
Yeah.
But so we're going to watch. That's the theme we're working with.
That's the theme, and it's called The Night Before.
Ooh.
And it stars Keanu Reeves.
Oh.
And what's her name? Aunt Becky from Full House. Can't think of that woman's name.
Oh, Lori Loughlin?
I paid to have my kid. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's the two of them, and it's like, we're going to the prom, and we're finally going to get lucky.
Cool, okay.
I think. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Let's find out about it for an oddly placed National Prom Day. Great.
I don't know if you have any movie that you'd like to announce.
Oh,
okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
For our wonderful patrons.
I think this is going to be really fun.
What are we
going
to be watching?
I think this is going to be really fun. So this is where we get our... This is our Saturday Night Live April Fool's episode. Am I right?
My April Fool's episode, right.
With the Saturday Night Live cast members, what we've been going for to kind of guide us. So did you know, and I forgot, but then I remembered, Joan Cusack was a Saturday Night Live cast member from 85 to 86.
No, but you know what I'm never going to do? Argue with you about any Joan Cusack movie we watch. There is no way. You want to roll out one person who I will watch everything that person appears in? It's Joan Cusack.
Well, and she was sprinkled in so much in the 80s. And
when she was in 16 Candles for about four scenes and had no
dialogue
and stole every single scene she was in, she's amazing.
She's fabulous. And now... Yeah. Like I said,
I had no idea she was in. Wow, was she like a one season, like a Julia?
She was 85 to 86. Was all she did, but it did. It still put her on the board for me, right? So I looked to see. Like we said, she's sprinkled in all these 80s movies, but she rarely gets even close to top billing at all.
Yeah.
Well, there is a movie that was made in. I think it might have been 88. I don't know the year. The top billers are. I think you'll appreciate these names when I say them. Daniel Day-Lewis. And Harry Dean Stanton.
Whoa, wait.
And then comes Joan Cusack.
Wow.
She was
third billed behind those two?
She was also, she won an award, some Boston Actors Allegiance Theater Award for this role. The movie
Sometimes I think those awards are given out to people that will just show up.
Well, and that might have been the case.
Right.
The movie is called Stars and Bars. Do you know it? Have you ever heard of that.
Wait,
I got to read you the...
Please, I don't even want to look it up. I want to just
Do you want me to
give
you anything about...
experience.
Okay. Stars and Bars, the movie. Hold on, because did I just make this up? No, it's real. It's real. It is, I'm looking at the IMDb. Yes, Stanton. A British art expert travels across America in order to purchase a rare Renoir painting in the South,
I already have to interrupt. Daniel Day-Lewis?
I guess is the... Okay. Yeah, yeah. And you should see... when we are done, you should see the poster. He comes across some crazy characters in the process.
So he comes to the South to buy art?
Get ready.
Harry Dean Stanton.
Huh. Yeah. And Daniel Day-Lewis.
If he's not sitting in a tree yelling about how he's a creepy angel, I don't know that I can...
You don't know how you're going to take it. Well, this is...
Or trying to steal cars or whatever.
Young Englishman. Young Englishman, Henderson Doris, Daniel Day-Lewis, yearning to give up his British ways and be bold and be a bold and brash American, gets his chance when his New York firm sends him to the South to acquire a Renoir painting from Loomis Gage, Harry Dean Stanton, the eccentric head of an unusual family.
Yeah. All right, let's
do
it.
That's what we got.
Are you sure we can watch this?
Yeah, it's available on Amazon. It's available, okay. Yeah, I did look that up because I'm like,
Stars and Bars, okay. Mm-hmm. All right, so Stars and Bars for patrons or people are interested in becoming show supporters.
I mean, if that's patreon.com carrot, we just dangle
slash good times, great movies. I can go back and listen to all of our April episodes.
They're fun.
We got a lot of John Candy.
Yeah.
Who's Harry Crumb?
Yeah.
Is in there,
Harry
I believe.
Crumb is a good one. Yeah.
We talked about the Gene Wilder werewolf.
Yeah, I don't remember what that one was movie. Called.
Remember there was a great scene
the
where
the honeymoon movie. The honeymoon movie. What was that one?
Yeah.
Haunted Honeymoon.
Haunted Honeymoon. Yeah. That's the one. Mm-hmm. Where he did pretend another guy's legs were his.
That was the funnest part. Yes.
That is the funnest part.
And did we do The Great Outdoors or was that a legit episode?
Nope. Yeah. That was patrons. Mm-hmm. That was patrons only episode as well.
Yeah, we've got some good ones on there, so check it out.
Oh, we got a lot. Yeah, check it out.
And now this
But
one.
Thank you for listening to this. Join us in 2 weeks. When we talk about The Night Before, I think is what it's called. Sorry, mm-hmm. I put my phone down, so I'm not sure. But until then, everybody, thank you so much. Have a great 2 weeks.
Ciao.
Gin Dandy to the rescue. Gin Dandy to the rescue. Gin Dandy to the rescue. Go, Gin Dandy. Go, Gin Dandy.
I was sitting on a mountaintop, 30,000 feet to drive.
Lucky with this phone sex girl one night and found one that accepted personal checks.
I see. Yeah, I thought it was like from a gross, like a not a grocery. Never mind. All right, I'm going to stop talking now. I'm overboard with my thoughts.
I thought it was
I'm
from ready. Your gross kitchen.
Okay.